spend some time talking to the master. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Here the little fire will turn, and we'll know the little fire will burn. And just a little talk with Jesus.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
We note that the passage before us today magnified the power of biblical faith. As we note on the morning, Monday morning, on that morning, as Jesus and his disciples walked toward Jerusalem, Jesus cursed that fig tree, according to 12 through 14. And the disciples heard him curse the tree. And so when they passed by that same tree the next day, according to verse 20, the fig tree was dried up from the roots. And my brothers and sisters, Jesus uses this experience to teach his disciples and teach us a lesson about the power of biblical faith, which says to us this morning that when we exercise biblical faith in God and his promises, we can expect amazing results. But the key to the statement is the phrase biblical faith. Because again, I say a lot of folk think that faith is just a blank check, believing that they can ask for anything that they desire and somehow God is obligated to do what they ask him to do. But again, I say, at my brothers and sisters, the Bible doesn't teach this. And so the text before us has a lot to teach us about the power of faith. And that's my subject this morning. I want to show you from these verses before us the object of biblical faith, the opportunities of biblical faith, and the obstacles of biblical faith. And so let's examine these truths together. And the first one I want to examine is the object of biblical faith in verse 22. We note that prior to verse 22, when the disciples saw that withered fig tree, they were amazed, and Jesus simply says to them, have faith in God. Now, the fig tree incident seemed beyond reasoning, but this is exactly what Jesus wanted to teach his followers, and that is his power to make and answer prayer supersedes all reasonable and natural sequences. And so when the disciples returned to the fig tree, they noticed that it was dried up from the root. Jesus used this as an object lesson to express the need for faith. And so when Jesus says, have faith in God, he's encouraging faith in the several aspects of God's character. First, have faith in God's person, meaning if you're saved, God is your Father. And as your Father, he cares about every need in your life. And that's why 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all your cares on him. Just to put it another way, I'd say God cares for you, so turn over all your worries to him. Because as your heavenly Father, he invites you to bring all your needs, your burdens, and concerns to him. Secondly, have faith in God's promises, because when it comes to the matter of faith and approaching God in prayer, the people of God have some very precious promises. In other words, God invites us to pray to him. Note he says in Philippians 4:6, he says, don't worry about anything. He says, but pray about everything. with thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, if you're tired from carrying heavy burdens, he says, come to me, and I'll give you some rest. And God promised to hear us when we pray. For we know it again in Jeremiah chapter 33:3, God says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. God promises not only to hear our prayer, but also to answer our prayer. No, God says again to his children in Matthew 7:7-8, he says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who seeks, finds, and he to him who knocks, it will be opened. And remember, the key here is not to just ask one time and give up, but you got to keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking until your breakthrough comes. And my brothers and sisters, when it comes to the promises of God, we have the Lord's guarantee that he will keep his promise. But note the Bible says in Romans 4:21, talking about Abraham, when God told him at the age of 100 that he would have a child. Romans 4:21 said, and when Abraham heard that, he became fully persuaded that God could do what he promised. Now, the main reason that God will keep all of his promises is, according to the Bible, it's impossible for God to lie. In other words, God will not back away from a single promise. And so when God says something in the Word of God, we can have absolute faith that he will do what he says. But when we pray outside of the Word of God, we cannot pray in absolute faith because we don't know what God's will is in that matter. Meaning faith is always based on the clear word from the Lord. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith come by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And so while it's right to pray about every matter in life, it's wrong to expect God to do everything we want him to do. Are you with me? Sometimes we get discouraged, but you know, God knows what's best for us. Some of us, if you answer some of our prayers, we'll quit serving the Lord. If you give a lot of us money, a whole lot of money, we'll stop going to church. Have you ever noticed when folk broke, they're always in church, but as soon as they get some money, you can't see them no more. Are you with me? But that's why God know that everybody can't be trusted with a whole lot. Are you with me? And thing about it, we need to always remember that we can never be God-given. Are you with me? It's God who gives us the power to get everything we get. And I know we think it's our own power, our own intellect, it's my own mind. No, no. God can mess your mind up. You can lose your mind. Are you with me? Yeah. You can lose your mind. You can lose your strength. Huh? Look at me. There's a lot of things I can't do now because of my back. I'm limping and going on. That just goes to show you how weak we are. And without God, we can't do nothing. Somebody ought to hear me today. Yes, Lord. And so we must have faith in God's power also. Because, see, when God promises something, he has the power to bring it to pass. Now, I might promise you something, and I really mean it, and I really want to do it, but I might not have the power to carry it out. I might not have the means to do it, even though I want to do it, but you don't have to worry about that with God. Because it's one thing to make a promise, it's another thing to have the power to keep that promise. And since we serve an awesome God, huh, who has all power, not just in heaven but in earth, as children of God, we can have absolute confidence in God's power to do everything he promises to do. Because our Heavenly Father can do anything but fail. And so we must have faith in God's power, but we also must have faith in God's purpose. Because when it comes to faith in God, we must always remember that he has an eternal plan that he's working to accomplish. And he has a purpose, and everything in the universe, even our requests, are subject to God's will. because he does nothing that is outside of the bounds of his eternal purpose. He will do nothing that is not a part of his plan. But still, a whole lot of people believe that they can ask God for anything they want, and God is some kind of way obligated to give it to them. That's where all this foolishness and naming and claiming and word of faith come from. All you got to do is just say you want it, and God got to do it. But that's a lie. That's not biblical. Are you with me? If that was true, I'd probably have a plane, a Rolls Royce, a mansion, and everything else. Are you with me? I'd probably be a multimillionaire. And that ain't nothing but foolishness. But the person, yes, Lord, who putting out this kind of naming and claiming myth, they're the ones who riding around in the jets. They're the ones who riding around in the Rolls Royce. Sow a seed, yeah, sow a seed there. When all you got to do is give your tithe and offering, and God promised to bless you. You ain't got to sow no seeds in here. You ain't got to give me no money and tell me something. I'm going to tell you, sow some seeds in my ministry, and all of a sudden the Lord going to give you a windfall. That ain't nothing but foolishness. That's not biblical faith. I don't know how I got there anyway, but I had to tell you that. Are you with me? Prayer is never about getting what we want from heaven, but it's always about aligning our will with God's will so that his will be done on earth. Yes, Lord. We so busy wanting to get, are you with me, that we forget to give. Are you here? Sometimes, it's a strange. We give everything to God, but our money, that's the last thing we can give to him. We'll give our time, we'll give our talent, we'll give everything, but when it comes down to giving our money, that's the thing we hold back a little bit. It's hard to turn that loose. But we got to understand that it's God who gives us the power to get wealth. It's God who gives us the power to have a job. It's God who gives us the power to have everything that we have. Well, secondly, let's consider the opportunities of biblical faith in verse 23 through 24, which allows us to believe the impossible. Because where Jesus and his disciples were standing, they must have been able to see the Mount Olives and the Dead Sea. And so it is in verse 23 and 24 that Jesus gives them a very vivid illustration. In other words, when Jesus said to them, if you have faith in God and don't doubt, they could tell the mountain to get up and jump in the sea, and it will. But you need to understand, he wasn't really speaking literally. But he was using a familiar Jewish proverb to teach them a deeply spiritual truth. Because the Jews commonly spoke of a moving mountain to refer to something that was absolutely impossible, or something that would be a long, hard task, which says to us this morning that there are so many situations in life that appear to be hopeless. There are a whole lot of things that we can see with our eyes that seem to be hopeless. There are people that seem so lost that they'll never be saved. You don't know it, but somebody looked at you one time and said you'll never be saved. Somebody said you're going to hell. They just turned because maybe what your lifestyle, maybe what you were doing at the time before God brought you in. But God can save the worst of us. He can take the worst of us and make us into whatever he wants us to be. And that's why we got to be careful how we look down on people. I don't care if they're drug addicts. I don't care what they are, where they come from. You got to be careful that you're looking down on them, because it might be God's child, and he might be your pastor next time. You never know. People don't know. Don't look down on people. But when we see this kind of stuff, we ought to do some drive-bys. What am I talking about? Some drive-by prayers. And say, Lord, deliver. Not with a gun. Do some drive-bys. Say, Lord, deliver. Because just like the Lord saved you, he can save everybody else. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. He can save everybody. Their needs are so great that it appears that they'll never be met. And you look around and you see what's going on in the United States right now. Those poor people in those cages and all that kind of stuff. It just looks hopeless, but God is still able. Are you with me? There are problems so big that they appear they will never be overcome. How many of you ever had problems in your life? Looked like you never was going to get out of it. You never were going to be able to overcome, but one day God moved and you found yourself moving out. Are you with me? But because of faith in God and in the promise found in his word, it allows us to believe God even in a seemingly impossible situation. I can believe God for salvation of the lost because of what he says in his word. In 2 Peter 3:9, it tells us that God is not slow about keeping his promise, as some people think he is, but God is patient, and he doesn't want anyone to be lost. Are you with me? 2 Timothy 2:4 says God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of him. And I can have faith that God will meet that need, which seems impossible, because that's his promise. In Philippians 4:19, he said, my God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. I can have faith that I'm saved because Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I can have faith that I'm secure in Jesus because God's word says in John 10:28, I ain't worried about losing my salvation. It says, I give unto them not life, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man snatch them out of my hand. I can have faith in a place called heaven. Oh, because Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You that believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house of many mansions, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Are you with me? So I can believe, I can have faith in heaven because Jesus said, yes, Lord, that he's going to prepare a place for me. And then when we get there, he said, we'll all be together. But most of all, I can have faith that he will never leave me alone, because the Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. My brothers and sisters, the list could go on and on. But faith in God and his promise allows us to believe him for those things that appear impossible to us. It also allows us to receive the impossible because it has the remarkable ability to enable us to hold in our hands things that we have not seen yet. Note Hebrews 11:1 again. It says, faith is the substance. Now, the word substance means foundation, that which stands under something. Meaning faith is the guarantee, the assurance that we will have the thing God has promised to us. The word evidence means conviction. In other words, it is the conviction that what we have believed by faith is already ours, even though we can't see it. Because faith allows us to hold in our heart things that have yet to appear. Meaning this kind of faith is not based on what the eyes can see, but it's based on what God has promised in his word. My brothers and sisters, faith mentioned here also, yes, gives substance to the promises of God for our future hope, such as Christ's return. Yes, things looking bad right now, but one day we know that the Lord will return. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can have hope also for the resurrection of the dead. Yes, we lost a lot of loved ones. One day we gonna die too if Jesus don't come back before we go. But one thing we have hope that one day we'll also be raised up from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3 said, God is good by raising Jesus from the dead, and he has given us new life and a hope that lives on. And if Jesus be the first fruit, that means that all who in Jesus, one of these days, even though we die, we will be raised up again. Are y'all still here with me? Yes, we have future hope for our glorification. What do we mean by glorification? I mean that one of these days, God come back, and we're going to pull off these old sinful bodies. We're going to put on some brand new bodies, glorified bodies, bodies that cannot be sick, bodies that cannot sin. That's what the Revelation writers say. In that time, God's going to wipe every tear from my eye. No more heartache, sickness, or death. No more pain. No more nothing. All kind of evil things will pass away. We'll be just like the Lord. Yes. And then we note that we will reign also with Christ. How many know that one day we're going to reign with Christ if you belong to him? 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Revelation 2:5 saying, they shall reign forever and ever. Now, all these things mentioned and many more besides seem impossible to our minds, yet they are real because God has given them to us by faith. I can't see heaven now. I can't see it, and I can't even hardly imagine it in my mind. But since the word of God said it, I stand on it, and I believe it. I believe that it's real, and I thank God for the power of genuine biblical faith. Some people here this morning and others may be listening by way of radio are holding on to unseen things of the morrow in your hands right now. You're doing it through the awesome power of faith because God has confirmed his promise in your heart. Yes, and you're merely waiting on him to fulfill, yes, Lord, what you've asked him for. How many of you have been asking the Lord for something, and you're just waiting on him right now? You know the Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings just like eagles. Sometimes you just got to wait on the Lord. Yeah, he may not come when you get ready for him to come, but I tell you, whenever he shows up, he'll be right there on time, because he is a on-time God. Well, let me slow down. I'm trying to get away there. And so continue to trust in the Lord. Hold on to his promises, and in his time, he will bring it to pass. We're talking about the power of biblical faith. Well, finally, let's consider the obstacles of biblical faith in verse 23 through 26. Now, while Jesus points out the great object of faith and reminds us of the opportunities of faith, he also mentions some obstacles to our faith. Now, while faith in God is powerful and it allows us to experience the incredible and receive the impossible, I need to tell you that faith can be hindered. Yes, it can be hindered by doubt. My brothers and sisters, doubt and unbelief will hinder our faith. Doubt is deeply effective against our prayer. In other words, if you doubt that you get something, if you doubt that the Lord will hear your prayer, you might as well keep it in your mouth. Ain't no use talking to him if you go before him in doubt. You have to go before him, yes, Lord, in belief and faith. The word doubt means to be divided in one thinking, to hesitate or to draw back. Because when we pray from a heart of doubt, we are drawing back from the word of God. But James tells us that he says that prayer of the doubter will never be answered. Next, we have to be careful for selfishness. Whatever things you ask. Now, it sounds like a blank check again, that anything you ask God, he's going to give it. But you got to be careful when you ask God for selfish motives. You got to make sure your prayers, that selfishness will cause you a hindrance to your prayer. And not only that, my brothers and sisters, the main thing will hinder your prayer is unforgiveness. Don't you think that you can walk around here with somebody in your heart and not forgive them, that God is going to answer your prayers? Why is that? Because you see, God forgave us of all of our sins. He forgives us every day of our lives. Yes, and here you walking around with your eyes all crooked, looking at somebody wrong, and won't forgive them, and thank God gonna bless you. You're not doing nothing but fooling yourself. Yes, as I try to move to the close, biblical faith is a powerful weapon. Mountains yield to its power. Sin, Satan, and sorrow all must bow to its authority, because faith is among the greatest of God's gifts. And so the text says, as the disciples walked past the fig tree the next morning, they noticed that it was completely dried up from the roots. And then Peter said, teacher, look, the tree you put a curse on is dried up. And Jesus said, have faith in God. If you have faith in God and don't doubt, he said, you can tell that mountain to get up and jump in the sea, and it will. He said, everything you ask in prayer will be yours if only you have faith. Whenever you stand to pray, he said you must forgive what others have done to you. And then your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. You know the prayer say, forgive us this day our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the reason I know that the Lord forgave our sins is because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, the bishop of our soul, Jesus, the author of my salvation, he hung bled and died on an old rugged cross. He wasn't hanging there because of his sins, but he was hanging there for your sins and my sins. He became our sacrifice. Just like when Abe took the son of promise Isaac up and was about to kill him, the Lord said, hold up, Abe, don't do the boy no harm. And he had that ram in the thicket, which was a substitute. So Jesus became our substitute, and then he died that we might live. Ain't God all right? He's my help in ages past, and my hope in years to come, and my eternal home that I'm on my way to. Yes, Lord, I tell you my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I'm a wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Somebody here know what I'm talking about. You call on the Lord and he heard your cry. Yeah, Lord, you were down and you thought you couldn't get up, but you called on the Lord and he lifted you up. You were burdened and you thought you couldn't make it, but you called on the Lord. He lifted up your burden. You were broke one time, didn't know how you were going to make ends meet, but you called on the Lord and he opened up a way here, seemingly out of nowhere. Ain't God all right? Yeah, Lord, I'm trying to hush, but I got to tell you that you can trust in the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Trust in him. Stand on the promises. Don't run around here talking about he's thinking God is obligated to do what you say. Don't let nobody fool you.
Amen.
That you got to get him something in order for God to bless you. All you got to do is what God tells you to do.
Amen.
And he'll bless you.
Amen.
If you're praying for something, don't give up. Sometimes I remember praying for things that looked like I wasn't going to never come out. But then all of a sudden, the Lord opened the door.
Amen.
Have you ever been in a storm? I'm talking about a real storm, literal storm. And looked like it wasn't going to never stop raining. It's dark. It looked like it's never gonna stop raining, and all of a sudden, it started getting light. It started lightening up. And the next thing you know, the sun is shining bright, and it's that just as if you've never been through anything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I never will forget, I had to say this, on my way to a revival, I always tell this, it was from Alexandria going to Colfax. And it was so dark, and I told Britton, I said, I don't think we can make it. And since going up there, I said, ain't nobody gonna be there. I said, well, just keep on going. On I-49, it was dark, raining like I don't know what. And we kept inching, and some people pulled on the side. And after a while, I started noticing it was getting a little lighter. And it started getting lighter. And the next thing I know, it's like driving out of car wash. We drove out of that storm. Into the sunshine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And guess what? I could look back and see the storm. And that's where it is when God bless you. You can look back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And see the storm. Yeah, Lord. I got the hush. I got the hush. I got the hush. I got that. Praise Him. Ain't nothing wrong with praising God. I tell you, He's good to you. Nothing wrong with praising.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular